This is the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation podcast in association with Hort Week and our sponsor, Westland Horticulture. Westland Horticulture are a leading horticultural company dedicated to helping people create and maintain beautiful, healthy gardens. Westland are long-term supporters of the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation and launched a named fund in 2023 to help students studying horticulture. Find out more about Westland by visiting gardenhealth.com.
We're in this fourth agriculture revolution. It's all about digital, it's all about data, it's all about connected devices. It's changing all aspects of farming.
I'm Neville Stein, one of the trustees of the Colgrave Seabrook Foundation. We know it's quite hard to find good information about horticultural careers, which is why we made this podcast. On this episode of the podcast, I'm talking to Ollie Hilborn. Ollie is the founder and CEO of Outfield. Outfield are an agri-tech company whose drone technology would change the future of farming. I started the interview by asking Ollie, what do we mean by agri-tech?
Agri-tech is a label that gets applied quite often to a lot of startup companies, but also to more established companies as well. I would say it's a company that's trying to provide new technology-based or technology platforms and systems for commercial agriculture, livestock, arable farming, aquaculture. If you're providing a technology platform, a technology service, a system that helps farmers, assists farmers, then you're agri-tech.
You've got an agri-tech business. I understand that you're working in horticulture with orchards. Is that correct?
Yes, that's exactly correct. So I'm one of the founders of Outfield Technologies. We're a startup based in Cambridge, and we provide data and services to commercial orchard and commercial vineyard growers. So that's within agriculture, within horticulture. We're focused on these top fruit growers, providing them data, providing them services.
Ollie, can you tell me what that data is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the main thing we provide is yield estimates. We tell growers, we give growers a system to work out how many apples, how many boxes of pears, how many tons of grapes they're going to be producing from their block, from their vineyard, from their orchard. We do that. We combine a couple of different technologies together. We fly drones over the orchard or over the vineyard, and we take images. We process that using machine learning. So we're counting apples on the trees, we're counting bunches of grapes, and we're turning that into, well, a whole range of data. The single most important piece of information for the grower, though, is a yield estimate.
And how does that help the grower drive a better business?
Well, if you're a top fruit grower, your whole year is organized around harvest. Everything you do builds up to a single harvest at the end of the season, and that's your one opportunity to basically generate revenue. So having a yield estimate is essential to all the operations that take place in the farm, or it really should be. How are you organizing your labor for your harvest? How many boxes do you need to put all the apples in? How many lorries do you need to turn up to the farm to take things away? How much storage do you need? What sales are you making to supermarkets, retailers, whatever it is? Have you got all that planned out? It all depends on what is your yield going to be this year. And it turns out that that's a really hard question to answer. I think anyone who's got a couple of apple trees in their garden will tell you that the number of apples on the tree varies so much every year, and it's so hard to predict whether you're going to get a good crop of big apples, a huge crop of very small apples. It depends on so many factors. Now multiply that up across a farm, try and run that as a business, and you can see where you run into problems.
I found that very interesting, what you just said about, you know, collecting data. What can farmers do with that data?
So that data allows them to do all sorts of things. I mean, just knowing your yield estimates helps you with sales planning and things like that. But we take that a bit further. So it's not just how many boxes of apples, but where is that going to come out of the orchard? What are your most productive areas? What are your least productive areas? Taking that a step further, farmers can use that to, you know, optimize their labor usage and hopefully reduce the amount of labor that they need to deploy on the farm, or make better use if they've got limited labor. It allows you to optimize things like chemical applications and fertilizer applications through the year. You can start to place them in the areas of the orchard, the areas of the vineyard that need it, and you can start to avoid areas that don't need it. It helps the farm because it helps the bottom line, but it's also beneficial for the environment. You're just putting less chemical agent, you're putting less fertilizer into the orchard, and there's less of it going into the surrounding environment.
Maybe we'll pick that thought up in just a moment, but I'm intrigued. In that description, you've given a great understanding about top fruit growing, you know, commercial growing of apples. Are you a horticulturist or a farmer? Do you have a tech background?
I have a very strong tech background. I'm definitely not a farmer, definitely not a horticulturist. My background, I'm actually an aerospace engineer. I studied aerospace engineering at university, and I worked in the aerospace sector for several years. Starting the company, my kind of expertise bringing into it was the drone aspect. How can we put a drone system together? Camera packages, how can we gather that data, process that data, and building out from there? So the horticulture aspect, the farming aspect, is something that I've had to learn, which has been a really interesting journey, and it's been really fascinating. Every day is a school day.
And the application with this drone technology, can you give us some examples of other ideas of where it might be being used in horticulture or agriculture?
Yes. So I'm really excited about the potential for drone technology. The reason being, a drone is a camera. We use them as cameras. I mean, people do use them for transporting things, for spraying pesticides. We're seeing these applications as well. But for me, a drone is a camera or a sensor that can be sent out over a wide area to gather a lot of data very quickly. And what that allows farmers to do is it augments their field walking or their site inspections, their scouting. It means you can gather a lot more data using a lot fewer people, a lot more quickly, in a repeatable, standardized way. And that's got applications all throughout agriculture. In horticulture especially, because you're dealing with very premium crops, you're dealing with, you know, salad vegetables, leafy field vegetables, top fruit trees like we do, nuts, citrus fruits. You're dealing with very high-value crops that need a lot of husbandry, that need a lot of input, that need a lot of interventions. Gathering information quickly, widely over a wide area, and then actioning that data is really important. And so I think there's a huge potential to deploy this kind of technology, especially drones.
And how quickly are you seeing the uptake of this technology from farmers and horticulturists?
I think when you talk about uptake and things with startups, quite often you see the uptake curve when you get early adopters coming on board and then sort of the bulk of the industry, and then you get the late adopters and things. I think we're definitely at the start of that. We're definitely in the early adopter phase. We've got some really engaged farmers that we're working with in the UK, in the US, in Italy, in South Africa. They're the kind of farmers that really understand what data they're missing on their farm. They understand that they need that data to drive certain actions and make certain decisions. They're willing to go out there and they're willing to sort of, you know, adopt new technologies, try out new technologies. And I think those kind of farms are really, they're real trailblazers for the industry. So very grateful to them.
How far away do you think we are from this becoming mainstream?
Well, hopefully very close. We're actively scaling up our operations this season. So 2024, this season, both here in the UK and over in the US, in Washington State, which is an absolutely huge area for apple production. Apples, vineyards, hops, but absolutely massive. Scaling up operations over there in Washington and also in New York State, and then also here in the UK. So hopefully mass adoption is right around the corner. Often with farming, new technologies like this, it does take a few years to sort of trickle through, but then they reach a certain critical mass where the industry is all moved in one direction and then farmers are scrabbling to keep up. And we've seen that with sort of precision technologies in the past.
Well, look, for someone who's been in horticulture for 47 years, I have a real love of it. I'm hoping that you are really getting a love for it, having just come into the industry. I'm intrigued to learn from you as perhaps a new entrant in horticulture and agriculture. What do you think are the big issues facing those sectors?
I'm really lucky with my job that I get to travel around the world's different places, talk to growers, talk to farmers in all these wonderful locations in Western Cape in South Africa, in upstate New York, in the Trentino Valley in Italy. I talk to farmers, talk to growers, and I ask them what they think their big concerns. And almost everyone is concerned about rising labor costs. South Africa, their labor costs are a fraction of what they are here, but they are rising. In New Zealand, historically, the industry in New Zealand has relied on backpackers, younger people on tourist visas coming through to work the seasonal jobs. Since the pandemic, with changing travel patterns and work patterns, they aren't getting people in to do those jobs. In the US, they've relied on migrant labor from Latin America. They're not getting the workers in. They're also experiencing rising costs. There's different drivers for it, but everyone's worried about rising labor costs. And it's not just at the sort of the bottom end of the farm. It's not just the guys picking the fruit and operating the machinery. It's mid-level and top-level as well. Farms are really struggling to get field supervisors. They're struggling to get, kind of the next generation of agronomists, of farm managers and things like that. So I think everyone's really worried about labor.
How concerned are these folks about climate change as well? and the impact of modern agricultural techniques on the planet.
Definitely a concern. Definitely a concern. Slightly longer term, if you've got labour problems, that's going to be a problem for you next year. But they do worry about climate. We just started working with vineyard growers. That's a really new sector for us. But we've been working with apple growers for a few years. Vineyards especially, particular varieties are so reliant and so susceptible, I guess, or so dependent on particular growing conditions. And if your local climate changes by just half a degree, you suddenly can't grow certain varieties, and your so the whole investment you've made into vineyards and rootstock and vines, it all goes out the window. And so they're very worried, very aware of it. In apples, we're seeing the same thing as well. I mean, here in the UK, you can't buy Cox apples anymore. You can go to some specialist retailers, but you don't sell Cox apples in the supermarket. Partly that's because as a variety, it doesn't lend itself very well to high density planting, but also it can't handle our warmer winters. Cox apple needs cooler months, needs those cooler days during the winter. Our winters are starting to warm up, and so you just can't really grow Cox commercially in the UK anymore. It's been replaced by Gala, Braeburn, and now we're seeing new varieties come in as well.
So for someone working in tech, and you know, from just what you said about climate change, how do you think agri-tech is going to change farming?
A lot of people in the industry, especially in agri-tech, especially people running agri-tech startups like myself, we talk about the fourth agricultural revolution. You can look back over history. We've been through, you know, just the transition to farming, the transition to industrialized farming, and then the third agricultural revolution in the 60s. We're in this fourth agricultural revolution. It's all about digital. It's all about data. It's all about connected devices. It's changing all aspects of farming. It's changing the way that growers get their data out the fields, the way they make decisions, the way they make interventions. It's robotic systems being able to do individual plant husbandry. It's smart spray and smart application systems that mean you can massively reduce the amount of fertilizer and pesticide you're using. It's even, you know, sort of weird and wonderful science fiction type things like laser-based systems, which can zap individual weeds so that you don't need to apply pesticides to them. It's all sorts of things like that. So agri-tech has the potential to radically shape up all aspects of farming. It could be really huge, and we'll see that over the next 10, 20, 25 years.
So if someone's studying farming now, let's say they're at an agricultural college, and they were listening to this podcast and really got excited about what you just said there, which I think is just, you know, incredible, where we think about the opportunities available with agri-tech, how would they get into this sort of agri-tech game? What's the route one might take?
First of all, it's a really exciting time to be coming into the industry. There are some amazing career opportunities that are only just opening up, and these are careers that didn't exist a few years ago. The farm of the future is going to have a lot of robots running around on it. So, you know, can you maintain a robot? Can you strip it down and build it back up again? The farm of the future is going to be generating gigabytes of data every week during the season. So do you know how to handle data? Can you analyze data and clean the data and visualize the data? Of course, you know, a farm is a complex business, so you've always got that people management aspect, finances. But then ultimately, you're growing crops, you're growing plants. And so there's a huge component of plant husbandry. There's a huge component of soil management, varieties, selecting new varieties. There's so many different career opportunities. How would one get into it now? I think definitely embrace technology. The farm of the future is going to be heavily grounded on technology. That doesn't mean that you need a PhD in robotics or you need to do a huge course on statistics and data science, but be comfortable, be confident with the use of your technology. When I'm hiring people, when I'm recruiting into Outfield, I'm looking for a demonstrable, you know, can you demonstrate to me that you've got an interest in technology? And that might be that you play video games. It might be that you build remote control aircraft. Anything like that, anything you can do to show me that you're really interested in technology, you're passionate about it, you read about it, some aspect of it, you've got a real kind of interest in it.
How important is it when someone comes for an interview that they've done computer science at university?
It depends on the role. Sometimes I am hiring for very specific roles. You need to have that background. So we hire a lot of machine learning engineers. But beyond that, definitely not. You know, one of the things I'm always trying to do as someone who runs a company is have diversity in the company. And that can be diversity of all sorts of things, right? So making sure that we've got a bit of a gender mix, making sure that we've got a mix of backgrounds, a mix of educations. If everyone in the company has gone to the top three universities in the world, in England, whatever, you end up with people who all think the same, who all talk the same. So I'm looking for people who've got a different background of education. You know, did you do an apprenticeship? You know, maybe you went straight into working and you've just got that work experience rather than education. So I would say, no, you definitely don't need to have a computer science degree to work in this field.
Will the grower of the future or the farmer of the future, will they be able to outsource some of this tech stuff if they're not that tech able themselves, or are they going to have to expect to be able to fly a drone, capture that data, analyze it, work out what that data means?
I think you've touched on something really important there, which I lose a lot of sleep over, which is that anytime you're building a system for a farm, for an agritech application, it's got to work for the farmer, right? I think there's quite often a sort of a view that farmers are very backward looking, they're not tech savvy, they're not computer literate. That's really not the case. Farms are already packed full of technology. That's all going in one direction. That's all increasing all the time. But farmers already deal with a huge number of systems. What is important, though, is that your system works for them and delivers value on day one. Because if it doesn't, a farmer's got so many other things to be doing during his day. If he tries your system and it doesn't work straight away, you often don't get a second chance. So growers, farmers, they are very tech savvy. They really do know what they want. They really do know how to use systems. They will put the time and effort into using these systems if they can see the value coming out of it. So it's really important for me to work closely with growers, to work closely with farmers, to make sure that I'm building the right thing, to make sure that I'm building something that does produce value to them when they press the green button on the screen to make it go.
What excites you about being in the UK horticulture industry?
I think the UK is a really fantastic place to be doing all this kind of stuff. You know, the UK is really well guarded in terms of research and trialing out new systems and testing new systems. I would say that there's quite a lot of government support and government backing for new research into precision farming, smart farming, agriculture 4.0. We're really lucky to have some fantastic research organizations based in the UK that are doing really, really interesting work in not just in agri-tech, but in genomics and breeding strategies and all sorts of areas. So there's a lot to really be excited about. And the rest of the world, to some extent, does look to what we're doing, and it does turn heads. So that's quite good.
So where do you see Outfield going as an organization? Let's try and project forward 3 years' time. What does the business look like for you?
So we're building our system to be as scalable as possible. That's the goal we've always gone with. I said we use drones to survey farms. We actually use off-the-shelf drones. So we're actually using off-the-shelf camera drones. Why? They're very mature. They're very reliable. You can buy them anywhere in the world. So a grower in New Zealand, a grower in America can get hold of one of these drones, and they can start using our software and deploying it straight away to gather yield estimates and all sorts of other bits and pieces of data that they need. So we've built this system to be as scalable as possible, and that's really our focus now. We've spent a couple of years building these back-end systems, building the machine learning pipelines so that I can feed in pictures from a drone, and at the end it gives me a map of how many apples you've got across the different parts of the orchard. And now we need to take that out there and we need to start selling that around the world. And so that focus on commercialization and focusing on taking this out to new markets, but also starting to move into new, so we call them verticals, but really new crop types. Our system supports apples and pears at the moment. As I said, we're just getting into vineyards, which is really exciting. But there are huge opportunities for citrus fruit, stone fruit like peaches and nectarines, avocados, pomegranates. There's a huge list of this class of crops grown all over the world. And all of these farmers, all of these growers, whether you're managing a pomegranate farm in India or an avocado farm in Mexico, you're thinking about how do you manage your yields? How do you nurture these trees so that you get the most crop this year and next year and the year after? How do you manage your labor? How do you manage your chemical applications? All these different bits and pieces. So there's so many opportunities out there. I expect the next 3 years to be very busy, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Sounds fantastic what you're doing, and it sounds really exciting. What has been your best day at work since you've been working with Outfield?
Like I said before, I'm really lucky that I get to travel to some really fantastic places. And I think one day really stands out for me. It must have been 2019. I traveled out to South Africa in October to line up with the apple blossom period. It was their springtime. So October is the springtime in the Southern Hemisphere, and I was out there for apple blossom season. I needed to gather some data for a project that we were doing. So I had my drone with me, I had my rental car, and I was driving around several farms around the Western Cape area. And I remember one particular morning I was out, it was a golden delicious apple orchard on a slope, sloping right down to a beautiful little mini reservoir. They have these reservoirs dotted all over Western Cape, which collect the water during the winter, and they use it for irrigation. The mountains across the other side of the reservoir. It was just a fantastic view. It was a fantastic office to have for the morning and a fantastic place to work. That always sticks in my mind.
And you had to pinch yourself to see if that was real, didn't you? Because it sounds absolutely a wonderful day.
I had to pinch myself, and then I had to turn around, go back to the trees, get my clicker out, and start counting open blossom clusters on the tree to generate a training data set so that my machine learning system could count flowers. But for a brief window, I did allow myself to just sit back and enjoy the view.
Well done. So, final question. If someone's listening to this podcast and they've really been energized about the prospects of agri or horticulture, let's call it smart ag, what's the one thing they could do to start developing a career and become the new Ollie?
I would say there's no one thing you can do to prepare to become the new Ollie. Like I said, I don't have a background in horticulture. So if you want to start a business, if that's the kind of person you are, I really advise you to just go for it. There's a huge amount of resources out there. You just got to get into it and just got to start one. Maybe starting a business isn't for you. That's fine. It's not for everyone. You have to be slightly wild to want to start a business. But if you want to get into this space, there are so many interesting companies out there. I would say get online and start researching them. Take a look. You know, here in Cambridge, there are some fantastic companies managing livestock with ear tags for cattle. So a tag that goes in the ear and it tracks the cattle around the field. There's companies doing bug detection using a camera in a box that gets dropped into a forest to detect what weevils are going past that are going to be eating the trees that day. There are robotic systems for picking strawberries. There's so many interesting companies out there. Start having a look around and see if you can find some inspiration for what you want to be doing.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, and thanks, of course, to Ollie Hilborn. You can find out more about Ollie's business at outfield.xyz.